WPFW, Washington.
Welcome to The Collision.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash. Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C.
Welcome to Heal DC. This is Joni Eisenberg. We have a special song to introduce this morning. Welcome, Nikki.
They divide us by our color. They divide us by our tongue. They divide us, men and women. They divide us, old and young. But they'll tremble at our voices when they hear these verses sung. For the union makes us strong. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the union makes us strong.
And that was the great Nikki Nesbury with the Justice Singers. We will hear her again later in the hour. But that song is very appropriate always, but particularly today, our focus for this hour is going to be with the Federal Unionist Network, also called FUN, fighting and standing up for essential jobs and services. We have two fabulous guests who I'm going to introduce in a moment, but I have some quick announcements. I'll try to make them quick. First of all, we're going to continue to celebrate International Working Women's Day through the month of March. We want to give a special shout out to our own special ancestor, Dory Ladner, who left us a year ago tomorrow. So Dory will be in our hearts. This coming Saturday today is Harriet Tubman's Day, celebrated throughout the country. And this Saturday, there's going to be a special event organized by Harriet's great-great-grandniece, Tina Wyatt. And that's going to be 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday at Westminster Church, 400 I Street Southwest. I'm actually the MC for that day, and it's going to be a very exciting discussion moderated by Maurice Jackson. The theme is Call to Action to Preserve Our History. The panelists include Dr. Clarence Lussain, Tina Wyatt, and more. There's going to be music with Lucy Murphy and Elise Bryant. And again, that is Saturday, 1 to 3 at Westminster Church. It will not be virtual. We want to see you there in person. Also, very, very, very important rally on Wednesday, Rally to Save Healthcare with a focus on saving DC Medicaid. The rally starts right in front of Union Station at Columbus Circle, and there will be a march to the Capitol. Extremely important rally on Wednesday, and there's a lot of rallies going on. I will repeat some of this at the end of the show, but I wanted to jump right into our first guest, Paul Asudebi, and he is the spokesperson with the Federal Unionist Network. He's a steward with AFG Local 476, and he's also a federal worker. We're going to be spending about 20 minutes with Paul, and then our second speaker is going to be with the Department of Education, the president for that AFG Local. So, Paul, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be on.
I'm very happy. Wish we had the whole day to be on with you. And tell us again, say your name correctly. I'm sorry if I didn't pronounce it right.
It's Paul Asadebe.
Okay, great. So tell us, first of all, let's start with telling us what the Federal Unionist Network is.
Sure. So it's a network of federal union members, federal workers in general, and we are trying to strengthen the labor movement within the federal government and the federal sector as a whole. And we're doing that by creating communication across different agencies, across the various federal unions, and trying to bring just a more active and just stronger version of the labor movement to the federal sector. And we see that that's extremely necessary right now with all the attacks that we're facing on us as federal workers and on our agencies and the concept of public service and public goods. So we're very glad to be doing this work right now.
Absolutely. And so are we. And of course, well, for people who don't know, the Federalist Unionist Network is very active in the DMV, but also is active nationally across the country. And I don't know, Paul, if you could mention perhaps roughly maybe how many people are involved or some of the other unions that are working with you, but most importantly to the agencies, the federal agencies that you're particularly focused on now. Of course, sure. It changes all the time.
Yeah, so many are under attack, and that's why we have such a wide group of people involved in the fund. So we have people from basically every agency you can think of, from the VA to my agency, HUD, to Social Security, Department of Education, everywhere that federal workers do important work for the American people. That's where we have members of FUN. And there's hundreds and thousands of people who are currently active in the FUN, and we are rapidly expanding day by day because everyone understands the attack that we are facing right now. And so we are organizing every single day to reach out to more people, to let people know that there's power in the union movement within the federal sector. And that's why we have spread to AFGE, that's my federal union. There's NEFI, there's NTEU, there's every federal union has members that are part of the fund. And we are actively working with those unions to strengthen the labor movement and fight back against the theft and destruction that's going on right now.
Absolutely. And in a few minutes, you're going to announce a very important event that's happening on Thursday. But let's spend a few minutes on the agency that you work with, and that is HUD. And I also want to welcome Chuck Hicks, who's our co-host, and he's going to jump in with a question at some point while you're on. So, Paul, tell us about HUD. There was a fabulous rally. I think it was just a week ago, Monday. It was magnificent. And hopefully we'll air some of that rally on PFW soon, but give us an idea of the range of services that HUD provides.
Sure. So when I'm talking about what's happening at my agency, I want to make it clear that I'm speaking as a union steward, and in my personal capacity, I'm not speaking on behalf of the agency and can't do that anyway. So what HUD does is like provide the baseline of the American economy when it comes to housing. So we are the ones who police housing discrimination all across the country, both directly, and that's what I do personally. I'm a trial attorney and I enforce discrimination laws. And it's not just that, we also fund much of the anti-discrimination work that happens in housing all across the country. So we fund your local nonprofit that takes your case for free and helps you out when a landlord discriminates against you. We provide funding for disaster relief. So when a hurricane or a wildfire hits your community, we're the ones who give money to help rebuild and to rebuild it better and stronger against future disasters, and to do that in a way that strengthens communities and reduces discrimination instead of what sometimes happens where The money is spent in ways that kind of protect the people who were already doing well before the disaster and harm the people who were already struggling beforehand. We stop that from happening. We help people when they are facing struggles and are potentially going to be homeless and out on the street. We're the ones who provide that crisis intervention in terms of funding, in terms of immediate housing. And not just that, we also provide services related to affordable housing, both building affordable housing. We fund the groups and organizations that build that housing that people need desperately right now in the midst of a historic housing crisis. But not just that, we provide public housing. We provide just anything that has to do with housing in this country. HUD is intimately involved. And right now we are being prevented from doing that crucial, crucial work for everyone out there. And when that happens, no one is going to save any money from that. Nothing is going to be more efficient. Just the lives of Americans will be made worse, and it's already happening, and we need to join together to stop it.
Absolutely. And Paul, can you just spend a minute telling our listeners about the very powerful rally last Monday in front of HUD?
Sure. So we had a rally with federal workers, everyone who supports the mission of HUD, people who work for crucial nonprofits out there that are having their funding cut. We had lawmakers who were just as angry as we are about the damage that's being done to American housing. And the lawmakers went into the HUD building and tried to talk to Secretary Turner and hand him a letter telling him to stop allowing DOGE to cut these crucial services and employees like me and my coworkers. And they were turned away. Democratic representatives of the people were turned away.
Including Maxine Waters.
Yes, Maxine Waters, Rashida Tlaib, so many other fighters for the people were turned away because they wanted to send a message to the leaders of HUD. And we didn't just go away after that. We immediately held a rally outside and we talked about the cuts to services that are keeping a roof over people's head and keeping discrimination from happening and keeping the big banks and landlords and developers in check. That's what we do. And that is what's being affected. It has nothing to do with fraud or waste and abuse. So everyone out there just really spoke truth. They told the American people what is going on right now. They talked about how the civil rights organizations that protect people all across the country for free and in rural communities and urban communities, all of that, those people are having their funding contracts cut for no reason, with no notice, no appeal, nothing like that. It's just random cuts that cannot possibly help anyone or make anyone's life better.
Except the billionaires.
Yes, except for the billionaires. And those are the ones doing this. I want to be very clear on that. This is a smash and grab by billionaires to pocket government services and to prevent certain things from being done entirely, such as civil rights work, affordable housing work, because that doesn't benefit them. That potentially competes with them. Mm-hmm. They don't want that work to be done. And that's why we had to go out there right outside the HUD building and make our voices heard directly to Secretary Turner up at the top of the building. And it was really successful and really inspiring personally. And that's the exact energy we need to continue to bring.
Absolutely. And in a minute, I'm going to ask you to share your special event on Thursday. And then Chuck can come in with a question coming after that. I just wanted to re-emphasize how it was a very, very powerful rally. And I must say, I was pleasantly excited about the congressional spokespeople, such as Maxine Waters and Rashida Tlaib, and so many more. It made me realize how much they are fighting in there. So tell us, Paul, what is happening on Thursday?
Sure. So Fun is leading a campaign called the Let Us Work campaign. And that is a campaign to get everyone listening involved, because there's this perception that the administration and DOGE and the billionaires are trying to give everyone that there's nothing you can do to stop all of this, that you just need to tune out and that you can't affect what's happening. But the Let Us Work campaign is the opportunity that all of you have been waiting for, to get involved on the side of federal workers, on the side of the American people, and on the side of having a functioning government that provides services to all people. So this Thursday, we're going to have a mass call to talk about that event and talk about what everyone can do in their local communities to respond when there's illegal firings, or maybe when a contract gets canceled, like happened with the TSA workers, when there's union busting, when anything that you see this administration do that is against workers and against the American people, you can get out there in the streets and respond, whether that's through rallies to support fired workers, or whether that's through town halls in your local community to build the power necessary to have a community voice and respond to what's going on. So this Thursday at 8 p.m., there's going to be a virtual nationwide mass call, and we're going to have lawmakers, the leaders of both federal and private sector unions are going to be on, possibly some celebrities. Who knows? You got to get on the call to find out. And we're just going to talk about what you can do immediately to help fight what's going on and to fight Elon Musk and the billionaire takeover that's currently happening.
Okay. And you can give the website for more information. And then I want to make sure that Chuck has a chance to jump in with a question or comment. But Paul, tell us the website where people can find out about that.
Yes.
So 8 p.m.
Everybody listening to this should go to go.savepublicservices.com. There you can sign up for, if you want to attend or host a rally or town hall in your local community, wherever you are, you can do that. You can get more information about what the fund will be doing going forward, and you can sign up to get coaching on how to create an event yourself. We're providing resources on that. So this is your time to get in the fight. We need each and every one of you to do that. So again, go to go.savepublicservices.com. And that is where you'll get the link to the event on
Thursday.
On Thursday, that'll be coming soon. And you can get plugged in to the fund and to the wider labor movement and the fight back against Elon Musk and DOGE. This is how you can get involved in that. Yes. If you've been waiting for a way, this is the way.
Well, and of course, many of our listeners are already involved, so they can get more involved. Chuck, did you have a comment or a question?
Well, I think he just answered my question or my comment. It was to talk about the importance of not only getting the federal workers involved, but how we get each other in the community and what they need to do to get involved. And I think it's so important that we don't think because it's federal workers or people in this section that we're not affected. This is all of our fight. Everybody has a role, your church, your community, your friends. So find a way to get involved. And that's vital information that you get and you can share with people. And it'd be amazing if you just get together and stand in front of your grocery store and give out flyers, you and a neighbor. Makes a difference. Every effort makes a difference.
Absolutely. And we're going to be, we here at To Heal DC, together with WPFW, we're going to be doing more to connect the dots between what Fun is doing and all the community organizations, not all, but a number, as many as we can get in, of the key organizations in the community, so that we can work together and not as much in silos. We sometimes are in silos, not for anybody's, it's not the fault of any group, but it's time for us to really come together and be unified. So Paul, we have about at least an extra minute as we wait for our next guest to jump on. So any other comments about what's happening and anything else about the Federal Unionist Network.
Yes, what Chuck just said is so important. This fight can't be won unless the entire community gets involved, not just federal workers, but private sector people in labor, in the labor movement, state and local union people, people who are in community groups, but also the faith community. Just anyone out there who can talk to their neighbors and bring together a community response. That's what we need right now. And just in the next week or so, there's potentially maybe a shutdown, and there's going to need to be a huge response to that, to tell lawmakers to fund the government, stop these cuts, exercise oversight over these billionaire tech bros and these teenagers that are stripping the wires out of your government. That has to stop. And you, anyone listening, can make that happen by getting out in the street, joining the fun, and any other community movement that you see out there. This is the time. This is a historic moment. And you don't want to say later that you didn't do what you could to stop what's coming. So this is the time to get out there.
And again, we have a community of activists with WPFW. So a lot of folks are out there already on other issues. And I think it's important to realize that there's so many issues that we are fighting. So we have to open up the doors to make it easier for people to be working together. And so hopefully more people will get to know about the Federalist Unionist Network. I'm finding out that a lot of people still don't know about you, Paul. So it's good that you're on. And of course, you will be people will get to know you more and more. We do have 3 or 4 minutes left before your segment is over for right now. But tell us about what might happen March 15th, 14th, and why is March 14th the date that we need to be mindful of?
So the current budget that's funding the government will potentially run out on that date. And the Trump administration and the Republicans were expecting that they're going to try to use that opportunity to continue the cuts, to pass a budget that is just a giveaway to billionaires, to have trillions of dollars in tax cuts that are going to have to be finance by cutting your services. We're talking Medicaid, Social Security, Medicare. That's what's at stake here. And because of that, it's going to have to be a big fight to save what we already have and to use that opportunity to stop the cuts. And there's definitely going to be actions that are happening all across the country. We're anticipating that, for example, TSA workers are going to be having actions nationwide at your local airport.
And what is, tell people what TSA is?
The Transportation Security Administration. Mm-hmm. They are the ones who are protecting your safety when you fly by making sure that people aren't taking explosive chemicals on the airplane or weapons. They're there to potentially prevent terrorist attacks. And those people have their union contract canceled. They were union busted by this administration just a few days ago. So they're not going to take that lying down, and you should be ready to go support them however they need. And they're going to be rallying at airports all across the country, and we at the Fund are fully ready to support them in that, and the listeners should be ready to do that as well. So this is going to be the next week or so is going to be a crucial time to build a mass response and to put pressure on the government to fund the services, because these services impact Americans in every single district. It's not a Democrat or Republican thing. In red districts all across the country, we're talking about gigantic cuts to veterans' services. Just a few days ago, there was a report that up to 83,000 jobs at the Veterans Administration are potentially going to be cut. And that means veterans who are calling the suicide hotline are not going to have someone on the other side answering that call and potentially saving their life, there's no efficiency cut that can do that job. There's no AI that can do that job. That is a people-centered job, and those are the people that are being potentially fired right now. So this is the time to respond to that and to tell the administration that we need to let public servants work. Don't treat us like we're enemies. We are the ones serving the American people, and we don't have to just accept the firings. We can demand reinstatement of the people who have been illegally fired and purged. We can say no more DOGE cuts, no more giveaways to billionaires. And this time in the upcoming shutdown that may be about to happen, this is the perfect time to make your voices heard. So there's going to be a lot coming up. Fun will give more information on that as we go along, but it's time to get ready. If you're already in the streets, add this to what you're doing, because this will affect every cause and movement that you care about. The federal government is heavily involved in what happens in all of these movements. And if the public service and public servants are lost, it's not going to be possible to have any type of check on Elon Musk and the billionaires that are funding this attack.
And March 14th is on Friday. Do you think that we'll know what the outcome on Friday, or what do you think the rollout is going to be in terms of whether or not we know there's going to be a government shutdown? And I imagine this year it's much more dangerous than other years when there's been threats of government shutdowns.
Yeah, it's most people think that there's a pretty high likelihood this time, just because there's fundamentally different visions of what this country should be that are at stake right now. There's a vision where we should essentially run the economy exclusively for the benefit of billionaires. We should all take gigantic cuts to our services and funnel all of that money in the form of tax cuts to billionaires. Or we should at the very least keep the services that we have now, continue to serve the American people, and continue to have a chance to make life better for everyday people. That's the conflict that's happening right now. And some people are very intent on having billionaire control. And we have to do what we can to say that, no, that is completely unacceptable. We cannot have that be the way that the American economy works. And we need to join together to make our voices collectively heard. And that's the only way that this will be stopped.
And so do you have any sense of Friday is the day? Might we hear Saturday, Sunday, Monday? I guess people just have to keep their ears open. And I'm sure we'll hear about it on the mainstream news. But it's as usual, it's going to be a pretty intense week coming up, I imagine it sounds like.
Yes, these things often go down to the last moment, and people will think that there's going to be a deal, and then it doesn't happen, and then it gets averted right at the very last moment. Because of the contrasting visions here, I think this will go down to the last moment. And the most important thing we can do is to right now organize and build the power to create a crisis. If some lawmakers don't feel it's important to have services that make the American people better off, we need to build the power to show them that they're wrong and that we're not going to accept that. We need to be at their offices, whether they're here in DC or at home, wherever those lawmakers are located. We need to be calling them, visiting their offices, having rallies, and really building collective power to show that we have to save our services, and that the public servants that the American people need should be allowed to work and to continue doing their crucial jobs.
Absolutely. You're listening to Heal DC. This is Joni Eisenberg with Chuck Hicks, and you are also listening right here on WPFW 89.3 FM, Jazz and Justice Radio. We are spending almost all of the hour talking about the Federal Unionist Network, also known as FUN, what they're doing to fight and organize to save essential jobs and essential services. And hopefully we're going to have a second guest on now, but if not, it'll give Paul more time to talk. And we were hoping to hear in a moment from Sharia Smith. She is the president of Local 252. She represents 3,000 employees at the Department of Education. She's, of course, very busy, as the president is doing what he does and trying to shut down the entire Department of Education, which is, you know, all these things are even hard to imagine that this is really going on. She has confirmed, so hopefully she will be on momentarily. But again, let me just squeeze in an announcement that I might not have had time for, and that is, on Sunday, Tyrone Parker, many of you know him, he's been an activist with the Alliance of Concerned Men for over 30 years. He just wrote a book about his life, his very riveting book. He is having a discussion this Sunday, that is March 16th, at Union Temple Baptist Church at 2 p.m. With Reverend Willie Wilson, who many of you know, work closely with Marion Barry and much, much more. Union Temple Baptist Church is 1225 W Street Southeast, right around the corner from the Big Chair. That is this Sunday at 2 p.m. And so let's keep talking, Paul, with you. Hopefully, many things encourage me about the Federal Unionist Network, and one of those is that you all are very supportive of the fight to save home rule in D.C. I don't know if you want to comment about that or anything else you'd like to say. And Chuck, you can jump in as well.
Sure. So basically, we see that everywhere where ordinary people are trying to improve their lives and exercise democracy and control over their lives, that's where the administration is attacking. And one of the biggest examples of that is what they're saying they're going to do in DC, essentially taking over the city, bypassing our elected representatives, because I'm a DC resident and we should have the right to vote for a mayor, to have a city council that has real power over how the city runs. And they don't want that because they want to have a symbolic place to just do whatever they want. And that is not what the people of DC want or need. So yes, we fully support not just home rule, but statehood. We support the full democratic rights of the people of DC. And we think that the best way to get that is to organize, to build coalitions with all the other activist groups out there that have already been fighting on this issue, but not just that, to bring the labor movement into it, because the best power that ordinary people have has always been their labor, and to build solidarity with other people who work for a living and to make society run. The people of DC are who make society run, not Donald Trump, not any billionaire out there. It's the ordinary people listening to this right now. You are the ones who run DC and should run DC. So we fully support your right to do that.
Okay. You're listening to Paul Asudebe with the Federal Unionist Network. He's the spokesperson, also federal worker. We're going to be hearing from him more in the future. I believe we now have the next guest, apparently, is having issues with the Zoom link. Okay, well, I don't know what to say about that. We can't reach her on the phone.
Joni?
Yes.
Could I ask Paul another quick question?
Sure.
Oh, tell me, while we are in the nation's capital and we all have all the federal unions working for different parts of the government involved, what is the structure that for outside of DC for federal workers? How are they affected and what are they doing?
I think your question is, what is happening outside of DC for the union movement, the federal union movement?
Yes.
Okay, so the national unions have members all across the country, in every district, in every city, in every rural area. And they are all working together to fight what's happening. But the unique thing that the fund brings is potential solidarity and coordination across agencies and across federal unions. And that's why we are talking to all of the federal unions out there, talking to members of each agency and getting them to share ideas, share training, and share ways to fight back against what's happening, so that when one union, let's say AFGE, calls a rally in New York, it won't just be AFGE people there. It'll be members of NTEU, it'll be NEFI, it'll be all of the other federal unions, and not just them, but people from private sector unions, from community groups. That's the type of power we need to build to fight back here. And that's happening right now, because both FUN and the federal unions recognize that this is a unique and historic attack on working people. And so whatever strategies we were using before, we need new ones to build the power necessary and quickly to use our power to defend public services.
And I guess my other question is, what about your retirees? Where are they at in this fight?
Yes, so they are a crucial part of the fight, because they potentially have more freedom to act, since they are not currently employed by the administration attacking them like I am. And they have just like a huge wealth of wisdom about how the federal government works and what services people need. And so we are bringing them in to the fight. They are already supporting us in terms of giving us guidance on organizing and on who are the best people to get in contact with. And we are going to be ramping up our outreach to retired union members and just retired federal workers in general, because we know that they are a crucial and huge number of the people out there who know how important it is to keep public service, since they already devoted their lives to that service. They know how crucial it is, okay, and they have to be part of the fight.
Okay, I think we have our next guest on.
Okay.
I believe Sharia Smith, are you on there with us?
Yes, I'm on. Hi, everyone.
Okay, good morning. Well, we have about 5 minutes or so. Sorry you couldn't get on earlier, but tell us about who you represent. You're the president of a local with the Department of Education that represents approximately 3,000 employees. So welcome, President Smith.
Thank you. You can call me Sharia. So I am not only a local, we are the only local in the United States that represents employees for the United States Department of Education. So our members are nationwide. The 3,000 people that we represent are nationwide. And we perform oversight work. So we make sure that, you know, school districts are actually complying with Brown versus Board of Education. We're making sure that, you know, students who are applying for college get financial aid and, you know, aren't charged exorbitant fees by the lender. We also do oversight of local school districts and states to ensure that they're complying with the laws. And so the attack on our jobs means that they're, you know, just wanting the local school districts and states to do whatever they want, provided that those local school districts and states don't do anything that might benefit Black and Brown students without any oversight. So, you know, when they're trying to eliminate our jobs, they're eliminating oversight of what school districts do, and they're eliminating the recourse that American citizens have, the free recourse that American citizens have to correct issues that might be going on in their local school district or in their state. So again, our members are all over this country. I'm currently in Dallas, Texas. So the reason why I was late getting on is that we're, you know, working on a national grievance. I just speak with management. But one of the things that I think is important, not only the discussion of the elimination of the services that our members provide their fellow Americans, but the impact economically on what would happen if you unemploy millions, you know, sorry, the thousands of employees that work for the Department of Education, and certainly the millions of employees that work for the federal government, what that will have on the local communities that we live in, because we are taxpayers. We pay property taxes. So if you're eliminating our agency, you're eliminating the federal funding that goes to public schools, and then you're also eliminating people who pay property taxes for those local schools. You know, you're gonna have an increased demand on unemployment, and if they are able to eliminate us despite our unions, despite our contracts, what hope is there for, you know, any other working American? And I heard the questions about retirees. Certainly our retirees are, you know, also in the fight here because we have a tax on their very retirement. When you talk about eliminating a contract, a union contract, you know, if they're able to be successful eliminating that, then what prevents them from honor, you know, from not honoring any other contract or any other agreement they have with fellow Americans? So this is just beyond our agency, certainly beyond federal employees. Right. This is going to be an impact.
Yes, Sharia, but I hear what you're saying, but talk to us a little bit about the children and the impact on the schools. I mean, it seems like these people, I'll call them these people, who wanted to shut down public school systems for probably over 100 years. And what's going to happen to the children? We already have a very low literacy rate in this country. And certainly in Washington, D.C., that's definitely the case. So talk to us about your concerns about the children if we don't have any public schools anymore.
I mean, my concerns about children are, you know, the reason why I was a teacher before and after law school, the reason why I came to work in public service for the U.S. Department of Education. You know, I spoke on this a little bit briefly, but I'll make it more plain. Our agency actually does not do, you know, so a lot of detractors about our agency talk about the low literacy rates or low test scores and, you know, woke curriculum. And they say that's the reason why we need to eliminate the U.S. Department of Education, and we need to make sure that the states and local government, I mean, local school districts make those decisions. The thing is, the state and local school districts are making those decisions. They have always made those decisions. I know that for a fact as a teacher. I got my directions from the state of Texas, not the federal government. What our agency does is provide oversight to make sure that if students, you know, if a local school district decides that they're not going to give a student their IEP or their 504, we have those parents can, or they're going to, you know, punish a Black student more harshly than they would a white student for the same offense. Those parents can reach out to free attorneys in our office, the Office for Civil Rights, and get that righted. When they eliminate those, when they, you know, if they eliminate our agency, they are eliminating the oversight that the federal government has to make sure that school districts who probably didn't want to integrate in the first place or probably, you know, that they're doing what they need to be doing for students. And what they're also eliminating is the funding that we would provide for students with special needs, students in Title I communities, and students who are applying for college. And so either, you know, when you eliminate funding, either those programs go away or they're going to be increasing property taxes. So this is already affecting students because since January 21st, pretty much everyone in our agency has been told we cannot work. So I think you'll be hard pressed to find if someone has filed a complaint in the Office for Civil Rights that they've gotten any relief. Or if someone is applying for financial aid, they probably haven't heard anything yet because the people that would be doing that work for them have been either fired, placed on leave, or told, forced not to work. So it's already an impact on students. And again, if they are successful with eliminating us, there will be an impact on entire communities.
Okay, you're listening to Sharia Smith, who is the president of AFGE Local 352, representing approximately 3,000 employees. We're going to hear a quick song again from Nikki, but I just want to say I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about our ancestors who were teachers, our ancestors such as Liz Davis, who was the president, of the DC Teachers Union. She would be out there day and night making sure we got out there in the streets. So those of you who knew Liz Davis, those of you who have mothers or parents or family members who are teachers, my mother was a teacher and fought in the union. This is just beyond, I mean, it's just, you know, we have to stop this. So Nikki, what do you have to say? What do you have to sing?
Federal workers matter, we shall not be moved. Federal workers matter, we shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, we shall not be moved.
Again, that is Nikki with the Justice Singers. She's going to take us out in a few minutes with her final song. But we have a few minutes to wrap up. We have about 4 or 5 minutes that we can share. So, Chuck, you can jump in as well. But Sharia and Paul,
yeah. When you talk, I'm so, you know, when you talk about teachers, again, this is how eliminating our agency would negatively impact teachers. It used to be one, you know, to be a teacher, you have to have gone to college. And when you are a teacher, you don't make a lot of money, you know, problems with that anyway. But there, you know, a lot of people go into teaching because you get public service loan forgiveness. So if you're a teacher and you know,
they go into teaching too, because they care about children. I'm sorry.
I mean, obviously, yes, but you have to afford, because you can do something else, but you have to be able to afford to pay your bills. And so if you are coming into teaching, which most teachers are, with student loans, and you would qualify for public service loan forgiveness, when you eliminate the U.S. Department of Education, you are eliminating that benefit. So for the little salary that you do have, you are now, the help that the federal government would give teachers and really anyone with a degree is being eliminated as well.
Okay. And do you have any actions coming up or ways? How can people get, Paul is going to repeat how people can get involved with fun in general, but is there any way in particular people listening might be able to support what you're doing?
Absolutely. I know that most of your listeners may be in the DC area, but if you have a representative, if you your senators, your member of Congress, definitely email, get on the line, call them and tell them that, you know, you expect them to keep our agency. And we're having a rally tomorrow. Well, not we, it's actually the American Federation of Teachers, but we'll have one of our terminated members, a disabled veteran, speaking, who's coming from Alexandria, Virginia, who packed up his whole family from South Carolina to take this job to continue serving the American public. So he'll be speaking there. That's the rally's happening in front of the U.S. Department of Education tomorrow. And I apologize, I don't have the exact time, but we can send that along. But if people are free,
there won't be a way to announce it. So is there a way? Okay, so that's tomorrow, Tuesday, at the Department of Education.
Yes, and I can look it up. I can let Paul jump in while I look up the actual time.
Okay, great. Okay, Paul, your final comments for today.
Yes, so like I said before, this is a historic time that needs like a historic level of involvement from the labor movement, from the community, and from everyday Americans. And there is something that everyone out there can do to fight this attack. And you can start by going to go.savepublicservices.com, getting plugged in with the fun, coming to the mass call this Thursday at 8 p.m. And you can just join with thousands of other people all across the country who want to take immediate action to save our services and to push back on the billionaires and let them know that we have the power in this country. Ordinary working people have the power to join together and to stop anything that they are doing. And the billionaires don't believe that. That's why they have gone so hard and think that they have impunity. We have to show them that they do not have that, that we hold the power and we can exercise it whenever we feel it's necessary. And that's what these events are about nationwide.
And so, I'll come back to Paul in a minute. Yes, Sherry.
The rally tomorrow is going to be outside of the U.S. Department of Education from 9 to 10 Eastern time. The U.S. Department of Education is located at 400 Maryland Avenue Southwest on the Memorial side. Thanks. Sorry for the interruption.
No, that's very important what you're saying. And, you know, there, as some of us know, there are rallies every day, seems like. And unfortunately, we don't always get enough notice with these rallies. But that, in a way, is a good thing because people are working hard. So to get people out in the street. So, again, that's tomorrow, Tuesday, a rally at the Department of Education, which is 400 Maryland Avenue. And is that Northwest? Or
it's Southwest.
Southwest. And the time again is, did you say 9 to 10 a.m.?
It's 9 to 10 Eastern. 9 to 10 Eastern.
Yeah, well, most of our listeners are right here. So that's Tuesday. Tomorrow, 9 to 10 a.m., a rally at the U.S. Department of Education, 400 Maryland Avenue Southwest. Tell your friends, tell your teachers, tell your family members who have children in the D.C. public schools. And some of you who knew Liz Davis, go out there and march for Liz Davis. That's what she'd want you to do. And we all want you to be out there. So, Paul, and thank you so much for joining us, Sharia. And we hope to be in touch with you again in the future. Thank you for the work you're doing to save our schools and support our children and our precious teachers, who don't get enough money yet, but someday maybe they'll become, I don't want them to say become millionaires, but they need to get paid more.
Absolutely.
Paul, again, give us that website again. And is this the website if people want to be in touch in general with the Federalist Union Network? Is it the same? Uh-huh.
It's go.savepublicservices.com. And when you sign up on the Action Network link there, you'll get plugged into the network in general. So you'll be able to contact us directly about anything you want to ask about.
Okay.
You'll be on the email list and yeah.
Great. So that's go.savepublicservices@gmail.com.
No, go.savepublicservices.com.
Okay, I'm sorry. go.savepublicservices.com. So there's two dots in there on that website. Yes. Okay. Paul Asudebe, thank you very much for joining us. And we look forward to hearing from you in the future. And very much want fun to be part of what we hear about on WPFW. Thanks also to Sharia Smith, fighting for those teachers in the Department of Education. And I'm going to just repeat real quickly, and then in a moment we're going to be, Nikki's going to take us out with her last song. And I encourage our guests and our listeners to keep your ears open for this last song. very powerful. But I want to re-announce that this Saturday, March 15th, today is Harriet Tubman Day. Harriet Tubman is being celebrated around the country. But this Saturday is the Washington, D.C. annual Harriet Tubman Day, organized by Tina Wyatt, who is Harriet Tubman's great-great-great-grandniece. It's going to be at Westminster Church from 400 I Street Southwest from 1 to 3. I am actually the MC, but there's going to be a wonderful moderator, Maurice Jackson. A lot of you listeners may know him. The theme is Call to Action to Preserve Our History. The panel includes Tina and Dr. Clarence Lussain, who many of you know, and music by Lucy Murphy and Elise Bryant. And that is Saturday, again, from 1 to 3 at Westminster Church. Also, an extremely important rally on Wednesday from 12 noon to 3, Rally to Save Our Healthcare, specifically focusing on DC Medicaid. Because a lot of you know, of course, they're going to come after all of our health care. But Medicaid, you can be sure, will be first. So that's going to be a very, very important rally. I wish we had time to talk more about it. But that is Wednesday, 12 noon. The rally starts at Columbus Circle, which is right in front of Union Station, right in front of Union Station. So be there at 12 noon. And we're going to march to the Capitol, and I hope to see many of you out there on Wednesday, 12 noon, as well as those of you who can make it on Saturday. So let's see. I think we can have Nikki take us out with your final song. Nikki with the Justice Singers. Thanks, Mike Nocella, and thanks to all of our fabulous guests.
Thanks, Joni. Oh, give me a home where democracy roams and we value all government work, with no forks in the road and no retirement woes, and our country has not gone berserk. Oh, Doge is to blame for this mess that they cannot contain. Under cover of night, they've tried to take all our rights, but we won't back down without a fight. Well, OPM says you can sign up and pledge to retire and just walk away. From job security into uncertainty, that's what Elon calls efficiency. Oh, Doge is to blame for this mess that they cannot contain. Under cover of night, they've tried to take all our rights, but we won't back down without a fight. No, we won't back down without a fight.
All right.
Thank you. Very much, Nikki with the Justice Singers. Sings a lot with Elise Bryant. When might we hear you sing next? Do you know? Okay.
I'll tell you next time.
Okay. Thank you, Mikey. Thanks, listeners.
African filmmaking from all corners of the continent and across the diaspora is featured at the 21st New African Film Festival, presented by AFI and Africa World Now Project at AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring from March 14 to the 27th. The festival features 29 films from 19 countries, discussions with filmmakers, and more. The 2025 New African Film Festival features the diversity of new filmmaking from Africa. Tickets and full schedule at AFI.com/silver. That's AFI.com/silver or at 301-495-6700. That's 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Please join the WPFW family as we celebrate the life of Larry Applebaum, longtime host of The Sound of Surprise. Friends, colleagues, and coworkers will gather to remember Larry and his tremendous contributions to WPFW, the Library of Congress, and the jazz world at large. Music will be provided by DC's own Paul Carr and friends. Sunday, March 23rd, beginning at 2 p.m.,
at Westminster Presbyterian Church, 400 I Street Southwest, Washington, D.C. For more information, please go to wpfwfm.org.